Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Help us to walk with you. Help us to know your word. And Lord, even at times we might disagree, Lord, help us to be willing to listen and study and interact with each other. Lord, you didn't leave out things out of your word. You say your word is complete. Help us to know your word and be willing to change our minds as needed. I certainly have changed my mind over and over the years as you have taught me from your word. Lord, we have an important thing to study today. I pray, Lord, that you would just bless us in it. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Call this "The Serpent Deceives the Woman." I was going to try and cover the whole chapter, and it's just ridiculous because there's so much to cover, and I'm glad because now we only have a few minutes to do it. Let me read the passage that we're going to look at here. It's Genesis 3, verses 1 through 6, and it's not even all of verse 6 because we're approaching that next week. "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows in that day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate." And then the rest of the verses she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. We're going to hit that next week because there's huge ramifications here. Okay, flip it over and let's get to your points here, and then we'll be flipping back to some of the passages there. Number one, and this is kind of an outline, but it's interesting, but the serpent, and again, we're using the term serpent because that's what the Bible uses, and we're using the term woman because that's the term the Bible uses. Right now, there's only a man and a woman on the earth. So when you say the woman, they're not kidding, okay? So, and it's on purpose, I think, in that regard. There's no one else on earth yet. So the serpent approaches the woman. The serpent approaches the woman. What's the big deal about that? Does that in any at all make you stop and think just there? "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field. He said to the woman." Circumventing the protector and even the person responsible for this, right? Remember? Who was told about the tree? From God. Adam was. Before Eve was created, right? Got it? It's huge. I just talked about the shepherding groups. Right here? Okay? What's God's design for the family? Men to lead in every capacity. Okay? What's the devil do? He approaches it and he bypasses the man. Now, does that mean right now the man is perfect and does everything right? No. Does that give us the right to bypass that? No. Okay? The serpent approaches the woman. You think that's going on today? Yeah? Well, it says a serpent. It doesn't go into detail, but it says he's more cunning, whatever that means, than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. But apparently, the devil went into a serpent and talked to the woman through that. Now, how would you say, well, that never happens? Well, if this happened on day 8, how would you know? I mean, give Eve a little credit here. How would you know what talks and doesn't talk? You've only been around for a day and a half. Right? So a lot of you, oh, she would have known, you know, a serpent talking should have told you something. Well, maybe not. It's all new. Right? And like I said, I think this happened on day 8. A lot of people, oh, no, it happened. Wait, no, I don't think so. That's, I get it, you know, that it seems to be like it happened first thing on day 8.
For a woman to fear the serpent would indicate that fear was the basic
part of sin.
Part of sin. So
yeah.
There's no sin. So they don't like you.
There was nothing to be afraid of.
Nothing
you.
To be afraid of.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Overwhelmed with what is there.
Nope. He did talk about the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head, and the serpent would bruise the foot of the seed of the woman. That is actually prophetic about Jesus Christ. But it's it's interesting. We'll talk about this. I'm trying not to get off in too much. But the serpent apparently was something that was upright before, right? Because down on your belly you will go. Okay? So maybe we'll talk about that next week or the week after. Okay? It depends on how far we get. Point number one, the serpent approaches the woman. Okay? Not the man. And I believe he does that strategically. And we'll talk about that next week or the week after. Because there's two things you can say about the woman. That she wasn't given responsibility for this. And we'll talk about this at least next week or the week after. But she has a huge amount of persuasive ability over her husband, which is dangerous. And the Lord brings that up. You listen to her, not to me. Huge. So they've switched roles. They switched responsibilities. She's leading, you're not. You're ignoring me. Rather than answering to me, all of those things. We'll get into that so you don't have to write it down a little bit. He does not approach the man who is actually responsible. In fact, we'll talk about this next week. That's why I split it up. But nothing happens until Adam eats, right? So I don't even know when Eve eats, I don't really understand the whole consequence of that. And we don't know what would happen if she ate but Adam didn't. You know, is she defiled at that point? Does God destroy her and create another woman? Or is she okay because the command was given to Adam in the first place? Because nothing happened to her or to him until he ate. Then that's next week. The eyes of both of them are open at that point. Okay? So he's not even attacking her as if it's a collision. He's trying to get Adam maybe in a hard situation. Create an issue between he and the woman. Okay? He does not approach forcibly either. He doesn't say, here, take this, I'm going to smash it in your mouth and eat it. He doesn't approach the woman forcibly. The serpent doesn't. He approaches her with false logic. He lies to her. He tries to reason with her with error, and it worked. Okay? Number two, the woman responds. She answers back. And it's a good answer. The problem is what? I would say that this is part of the problem. Nope. The whole ad part, God never addressed it. All I can think of is maybe Adam said, you know what? Not only are we not going to eat it, we're not going to touch it. It might have been house rules. That's my theory. I have no proof, but she's never, the Bible never brings it up that she added the scripture. Adam might have said, you know what, we're not even going to touch that. Is that within the scope of responsibility that he could do? Yeah. It doesn't change the Bible. We're not going to even touch it. We're not even going to, not only are we not going to eat it, we're not going to touch it. Okay? But what's the issue? Whose realm was this in? Adam's realm. What was the problem? If she's there to help Adam, And Adam was assigned the responsibility. What was her assigned responsibility in this instance? And I don't call it sin, because there's only one thing that she could do to sin, and seemingly maybe even connected just with Adam. Instead of responding, she should have said, "Oh, you need to talk with my husband on that. Because he's the one that God assigned this to." Alright, does that make sense?
Yeah.
"I'm sorry, you're talking to the wrong person. You need to talk to my husband." Does that make sense? That, and the devil is deceiving. The devil is trying to get her and Adam to sin, and he's like thinking, if I can get her to sin, then maybe I can get him to sin through her. Okay? Her job, as I would see the pattern, the order and all that, would have been to refer back. This isn't her realm. She's there to do what? Help her husband. How is this helping her husband? The answer is it's not, in case you're wondering. And he said, "No, you need to go talk to my husband." He talked to God, and I'm sure he would want to talk to you. Okay? She knew of God's command, I say from Adam with a question mark, but that there's no indication that God told her this. In fact, God specifically waited, you know, on creating her until after he'd instructed Adam about this. He told Adam about the trees before Eve was created. There's an order there. So it seems like he lays the responsibility on Adam himself. She stated it and even stated a harsher requirement, and I put from Adam also, not to touch it. Like I said, maybe he added that. We don't know for sure.
He's looking out for her better, for her good. He might have...
That's a theory, yeah. But I don't think it's a bad theory, because she's never... I mean, what's wrong with, okay, not touching it? Let's not even go near the tree, you know? Maybe that should have been added in there too. Let's stay on this side of the garden and get that tree over there. You know, whatever the case might be. She does not go to Adam for his help, leadership, protection, or guidance, even though this was an Adam area of responsibility. That's how I see it. Why? Because Adam was commanded this before Eve was created, and God seems to do things on purpose. He could have easily created Eve and then said, okay, now here's the rule. But he didn't. He said, "Adam, here's the rule. Now I'll create Eve to help you." Totally different. It lays the responsibility on Adam for Eve rather than Adam and Eve evenly. Okay? So Eve should have gone to him. She didn't. I'm not saying that it was sin at that point. She's now addressing an area that she was not put there to do. Number three, the serpent tempts the woman. Okay, so far he hasn't tempted him. Well, tempted her, except maybe you can see it a little bit. The serpent tempts the woman by questioning God's and three things. Fairness. Has God said you can't eat of any of the garden, any of the trees of the garden? He kind of brings to the forefront that God's leaving you out of one tree. Okay? God gives you everything, but yeah, he didn't give you one of them. Okay? God's fairness. Pointing out through a question the one tree they could not eat of. The second one is that he says, "You shall not die." So he questions God's truthfulness. God's lying to you. That's why we need to know the word, because the devil still uses this today. Truthfulness. He says, well, God doesn't really know what he's talking about. In fact, he's holding back on it. You will not surely die. He's just lying to you. And number five, or the... In verse 5, he knows that in the day you eat of it, you'll be like gods. Questioning God's goodness. Isn't that what God, the devil does today? Oh, God just, God's not being fair. Excuse me, fair to you. Look at what you're doing for him, and look what he's doing to you. And, you know, and what the Bible says, you don't want to believe all that. You don't want to get too religious. And even though it says that, you know, some people don't believe that. So maybe it's not true anyway. And he's just trying to keep you from enjoying life as it is. Again, back to same-sex marriage or aborting your children or what, you know, the devil uses the same methodology. The woman is deceived, embracing all three avenues of temptation. So number four, the woman is deceived. He uses three avenues that he uses over and over and over, the devil does. The three are this. I'll put them up here. Three avenues of temptation. Lust of the flesh. And I'm putting it in your notes here. It's something that tastes good or feels good. Okay? Lust of the flesh. Those are desires that God gives you, but you want that in spite of what God has commanded. Okay? So lust of the flesh. And she saw that it was good for food. Man, this is really good. You know, it's tasty, all right? Number two, and lust of the eyes. Lust of the eyes. Notice here, she saw that it was pleasant to the eyes. It looks good. That's how God or the devil captures us many times. It's like, I thought my car was nice till I saw that car. I saw that, you know, my computer was good until I saw the description of the new computer that's faster, better, stronger, even though I still only do email on it. You know what I'm saying? The lust of the eyes. Oh, that looks nice, you know. And then the third is the pride of life and a desire to make one wise, okay? And I put down here, it makes us feel important. We want to be important. That was one of the things that Brandon Howes brought up last night too. A lot of pastors are caving in to not teaching the truth because they want to build the empire rather than teach the truth. And people are not drawn to the truth. They're drawn to the, well, look at it. It must be a good church again. Look how big it is. Okay? Well, maybe. So yeah. So, but the idea is people, pastors fall into that. They want to be the celebrity rather than tell people what they need to hear. So they start cutting things out of the whole counsel of God.
It's always amazing when you get into a symbiotic relationship with these other things. The first thing that goes is the truth.
Yeah. No, it is.
The first thing.
And that's why if you study the Word of God and then teach what's there, you're not going to make everybody happy. You know, and the goal is, you know you're imperfect, but the goal is to get it right, not to get what you like. Okay, and that's why I've God's changed me a lot because of my study. Right. Well, and there's a natural thing that you want to be significant. You want everybody to know your name or whatever, you know. It's like hopefully it's not the sheriff's blotter, but, you know, something. But quickly, I just want to, if you flip it over, your sheet over, 1 John 2:15 through 17 talks about this. This is almost to the end of the New Testament. It's almost toward the bottom of your sheet. It says, do not love the world. It's a command. Or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You can't love God and love the world at the same time. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. It's interesting to note, too, that the devil tempted Jesus in these three same avenues. And you have it in your notes here, and I put it in there. Lust of the flesh. He says, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And what did Jesus say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I will eat when God says I eat, even though I haven't eaten for 40 days. Backside at the top, he says, "You look around. see all these kingdoms and then their glory. All this has been delivered me. Satan is the God of this world, the Bible says. And I will give to whomever I wish. That's the lust of the eyes. Look at all. I'll make this. This can all be yours. Look. And then also he says, hey, throw yourself down. And basically, explanation, you'll be the celebrity. Because God's not going to let you stub your toe. And you'll be the celebrity. You won't even have to go to the cross, is the idea. And it's the pride of life. Miraculous arrival and worship that would have resulted from that. Hey, as a guy, you know, we're so overstimulated by special effects and stuff. They would never have seen anything like that. He would have been the dude. The process of temptation, I don't have time, but it's in your notes. We focus on something, we desire, and keep feeding that desire till we give in. That's how temptation works. The devil, all he has to do is keep bringing it up before you. And you'll eventually give in. And the Bible says we're supposed to flee temptation. We're supposed to flee things, okay? Now, key lessons here. This is kind of a summary statement. But key lessons, if you learn anything from this first part of Genesis 3, recognize the three ways the devil tempts us. You need to know how the enemy works. He's going to say, look at that. Doesn't that look good or nice or whatever? Or, wow, won't that feel wonderful? Okay? Whether it's drugs or illicit sex or even the Bible talks about laziness and sleeping. That's a lust of the flesh, right? I fight that every day. Why can't the sun be high instead of dark, you know, when I get up? And the pride of life. We want to be important. We want to be special, or, you know, that'll even, at times we'll argue because we want the last word. Pride of life, right? I want to be the right one, the top one. Okay? But the process is there in James 1. Now, but recognize the three ways the devil tempts us: lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And these are not of God. Does he give us desires? Yes. Are we to live by them? No. We are to find our meaning and value in him, not in independence of him. Okay? And then here's three other points. We are to obey what God clearly tells us. If there's a lesson to be had, we are to obey what God clearly tells us. If God says it, don't listen to reasoning at that point. Because the devil has been around a lot longer than you have, and you are not as strong as he is. Aren't we good at reasoning away anything? You know, I don't know why I keep going back to same-sex marriage right now, but it can be anything. But it's like, well, we love each other. So what? Right? What has God said? We need to obey what God has said. Is it wrong to lie or not? Are we supposed to obey authorities or not? Don't try to reason and don't let the devil reason for you, because I sent around to the teachers. The word devil is accuser. Double-tongued, literally. Satan is an adversary. He's our enemy. He's trying to eat you for lunch. Devil walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may what? Yeah, okay. Lucifer was shining one. He seemed to be the highest angel. That's only his once. But he was seemingly the highest ranking angel, and he caved to pride. I'll be like God. I'll start my own whatever. And then he's also called the serpent in Revelation. The old serpent, the devil, the dragon. It lists Satan, all four of those, in two passages in Revelation. Well, the Bible uses these two terms for him, but he does say in even those passages that goes out and deceives. So that's how he does it. He accuses, and he's our adversary. How is he our adversary? He tries to deceive. Exactly. He's like an angel of light that he tries to deceive, right? The next one here, we are to stay under the authorities that God has placed us under. Husbands, parents, pastors, leaders. That, we've talked about, that's a biblical discipline, to understand who you're under and not to circumvent that. Eve circumvented that. She took on responsibility that was not hers to take. And then, we are to flee temptation. Not play with it or listen to what we know is wrong. And that's what she did. She stood there rather than fleeing from that. Someone's tempting me. It doesn't matter who or what. Someone's tempting me. I need to get out of here. And instead, she's like, oh, tell me more. Okay? Questions or comments? Mark.
Well, he tempted the Lord too.
Yes, he did. What's the difference?
Because he went out and said, I'll give you all these things.
Right. What's the difference? Lord said no. He said, you know what? This is what God said. You tempted me here, but this is what God said. You tempted me here, this is what God said. You tempted me here, this is what God said. Eve said, this is what God said. Oh, okay, tell me more. I guess he is trying to cheat me. He's trying to lie to me. He's, you know, look at what I'll be when I do this. Okay? She caved on all three. All right, next week we're going to talk about Adam eating of the fruit. I'm not sure what the title will be yet, but she gave it to her husband who was with her, and he ate. And the catastrophic impact of that. Okay? So, So, all right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be faithful in teaching your word. None of this is popular anymore. Not that it's ever been popular, but Lord, the people of God do not want to hear this anymore. We want to be entertained. We want to be deceived. We want our ears scratched. I pray that you would protect us from that. And Lord, just make us humble learners of your word. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.